Imagine being able to travel to any point in time. Where would you go? And what would you do? You could witness some of the greatest moments in history.
That's gotta be Kane! Break it down!
Welcome to another episode of Turnbuckle Time Machine. We have a very, very good one in the books for you today in your house, the pay-per-view, Ground Zero.
Zeros everywhere.
Zeros everywhere.
Zeros everywhere.
Zeros coming from this way. Zeros coming from this way. And we're in, speaking of coming all over the place, we're in Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, home of the Colonel Sanders himself. Did you think I was going to say?
I don't know. There was something in my mind about the Colonel, but it was with
Colonel Mustard.
No, it was. This is, I don't want to. It wasn't with you. It was with somebody else. That I was. Either way, it was funny. And if I brought it up, it doesn't matter. Let's get into the pay per view, September 7th, 1997. What did you think of this pay-per-view?
I enjoyed it overall.
I know it didn't get a lot of ratings at the time, probably because
people didn't order the pay-per-view. It's tough because I would say it was a really good, probably one of the better in your houses, like top three in your house, first 3 hour in your house.
Yeah, it was long.
But the lineup's not great. Like, you know, like, what's going to be the headliner of normal pay-per-views? The championship, Patriot versus Bret.
It's not even the main event.
Not even the main event.
Well, because I think we all know.
Everybody knows what's going to happen. Yeah. I mean, obviously, Undertaker Shawn Michaels is big. Mm-hmm. But also, like, this is back in the 90s. People are really, like, into the story. Like, it's real. Like, I'm sure they were so mad that Shawn Michaels betrayed them and The Undertaker.
Sure, definitely.
We can't watch this. It's breaking us.
Oh, yeah.
Breaking us apart.
They weren't a fan of Bret, or some were, but then they're like, Shawn Michaels is now
here. Can you see what it did on TSN in Canada or on the Canadian pay-per-view? The pay-per-view, eh?
I could. Klaus could.
Klaus, somebody could. He's off today. He's on vacation. Good for him, though. Another singles weekend in Jamaica. Did he go to Jamaica this time? Turks and Caicos.
I thought he was there last time.
I thought last time was Jamaica. Maybe we're mixing it up. I knew he had a couple trips.
No, it was definitely Jamaica. Remember, he came back with that fucking accent. Oh, my God. Like, you're German,
dude. Blue, 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 man.
Let's talk about some of tonight's matches. As we were just talking about, we do have Bret Hart versus the Patriot, and that will be for the WWF title. We also have a match with Goldust versus Brian Pillman, and let's remind them of the stipulations here. So if Brian Pillman loses, never going to wrestle in the WWE again. We've heard that, like, for the last month. That's a stipulation.
Yeah, but, like,
for
honestly, this kind of hits a little too close to home for me. Because it's, like, pretty much what happens.
Also, by the way, Brian Pillman's last pay-per-view.
This is? He said he dies, like, the night of Bad Blood?
Klaus will need to look that up.
We're going to find out here before too long. I mean, we've got a few weeks.
Yeah. So let's just let it play out. But yeah. I know this is his last.
He might just not be on the card in Bad Blood.
Too. Correct. Yeah. Right. But if Brian Pillman does win this match, Marlena will be his secretary for, is it 30 days and 30 nights?
30 days, 29 nights.
Okay.
No, 30-30.
Yeah. Because I thought they were going to do a 30-for-30 on this whole entire
match. Yeah, that's where it came from.
30-for-30, ESPN.
It was based on a stipulation from Ground Zero.
Damn you, Disney.
Yeah, they steal everything.
Yeah. And we do have the Fatal 4-Way Elimination Tag tonight as well. That will be for the tag team titles. And the main event, Shawn Michaels first. Undertaker, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I was trying to look back because this rivalry with HBK and Undertaker, I don't know if you really want to call it a rivalry, but they've also put on the greatest pay-per-view matches like of all time.
Yeah, like in their whole careers. Like, yeah. I mean, like, yeah.
When you think top matches, it's always usually Undertaker, Shawn Michaels.
Their later WrestleMania matches they have, like, is it like 25 and 26 or something?
Could be 25 or 1.
They might be Undertaker's two best matches, like that. And maybe,
Bad Blood is also probably... I don't think everyone's top five.
I've never seen Bad Blood, but I'm excited for it.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. And those are the matches. We do get another match, but we'll get to that. Oh, we have the Farouk, Savio, and Crush match. What are we calling that? The Triple Threat? I feel like they could have gotten a clever name for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a regular triple threat match, though, yeah, right?
So they're still workshopping this triple threat
this
thing.
This whole crazy idea they came up with. Yeah, I don't know if there is a special name. Jalapeno Pepper Pick a Bicyclist.
I feel like let's just roll the ball here. They didn't even try to roll the ball at all. Our first match, and should we get this out of the way just so everyone, or should we talk about the tag title thing that's going on later in the episode?
Yeah, we're maybe right before that match.
Sure,
we'll talk about that.
So we'll get in this match, Goldust versus Brian Pillman. What did you think of this match?
It was okay, the match itself. I thought that, I guess there's some. I just didn't understand why Pillman didn't come out in a dress. Shouldn't he have been wearing a dress here?
I was going to ask you, Ben.
Yeah.
He didn't.
I was like, oh, this has to be his last dress. Like, he still hasn't won.
We already saw the last dress match.
I know. Damn. I was all excited to see what he's going to pull out for a pay-per-view. He could be a little
right,
more
risky. Exactly, yeah.
He could look good, you know?
I'm like, I'm pretty sure I saw that gold on Sunny.
Oh.
Remember Sunny the gold? That,
yeah. She had, like, all around her butthole, some gold flakes.
Yeah, there were flakes. It did make her dookie twinkle.
Makes my dookie twinkle.
So Pillman comes out and he's chasing Marlena outside the ring, and he ends up getting caught by Goldust. And inside the ring, Goldust throws Brian. By the way, Brian Pillman Jr. gonna take a lot of damage in this match.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Pillman's penis.
Yeah. Well, he's already. I feel like already conceived. Are you talking about Brian Pillman Jr., his actual son that he eventually
No,
had?
I mean,
or
Brian
his name,
Pillman's
Lil
penis.
Pillman.
Lil Pillman. Yeah. I still look like calling it Brian Pillman Jr. Because
Brian Pillman Jr. is actually like not quite born yet, or maybe just about to be born.
He had to have been born.
Just barely.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, he's already born. So, like, calling someone Brian Pillman Jr. when there's an actual Brian Pillman Jr. is confusing. And you're making this way harder for the people.
I know. I'm making it a little confusing, but it's a play on words, if you will. What do you want me to call it?
Lil Pillman. Lil Pilly?
Lil Pill?
I'll
just call it Brian Pillman's dick.
Oh, there you go. That works.
There's no confusion there.
Not at all.
What?
There's no confusion.
Oh, I thought you looked up something.
No,
profound.
No.
All right. So inside the ring, Goldust throws Brian Pillman on the ropes, hits his dick. And outside the ring, Goldust follows Pillman up the entrance ramp, and Pillman gets a nasty suplex. They do use the entrance a lot in this pay-per-view, which I am enjoying. Back in the ring, Goldust pulls both of Brian Pillman's legs on the ring post, smashing, and in my notes, little Brian Pillman Jr., but AKA his dick.
Yeah.
Pillman is on the top turnbuckle, Goldust hits the rope, and Pillman falls again on his dick. Goldust throws Pillman off of the ropes into the barricade, into the first row of the crowd, which was a pretty good spot. I did enjoy that one. Goldust goes to set up his finisher, the curtain call, but the ref gets hit in, like, this sequence. Like, Brian Pillman's hand gently gazes the ref's cheek, and he's... dead. During the spot.
You're doing all right after that.
Yeah. It's kayfabe. Marlena's walking around with this purse, Tom.
Yeah, it's
and
nice
they mentioned it three
purse.
Times during the match. So, huh?
It was very gold.
It was very gold, and it literally looked like, do you ever see those, like underwater camera cases for your phone.
Yeah, that is what it looks like.
It kind of looked like that, yeah. There wasn't a phone inside. Just change, I believe.
Probably.
Or ID, maybe a couple some credit tampons.
Chicks use tampons.
I know.
Then.
No, I don't know. I don't know. It's just, yeah.
It's like taking the turnbuckle off.
You'll know the innuendo. It's like taking the turnbuckle off. Marlena tries to hit Brian Pillman with this purse, but Pillman intercepts it like he did for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh!
Takes it from her and ends up hitting Goldust with that purse. Ref kind of gets back into some consciousness and ends up getting the pin. 1, 2, 3. Brian Pillman wins and he gets Marlena for 30 days and 30 nights.
I'm subscribing to that OnlyFans.
Me too.
Yeah, good. You don't have to like look
Brian Pillman's got an ass like Foley. He's like, that's not the first time I heard that.
Ass like Foley.
So Brian Pillman wastes no time and takes Marlena very kidnappy-y backstage.
Kidnap-esque.
Backstage. And during this whole time, King is just, what are we doing here? Because King's making so many rape references. And,
I
lost count.
They're like,
rape references.
So appalled by this whole situation. Like, they, meaning Vince and like JR, they're apologizing that we have to watch this, but this was like they signed a contract with the stipulation. So what did you expect to happen?
Well, like, yeah, but now think about it. Dakota's going to grow up without...
For 30 days.
For 30 days.
Yeah, how many vacations does your mom want for 30 days just partying and out in Turks and Caicos with Klaus, dude?
If she wasn't missing her mom for 30 days, would she get married on a WrestleMania?
That is true. That's pretty fucked up day to get married. She probably did that just to mess with them.
Because
the wrestling ruined her life for 30 days.
Could be.
You know, I'm more concerned about what secretary duties that Pillman's going to have her do. Like, is he going to be answering mail, fan mail?
I think it's a lot. Hopefully she's good at Excel.
Okay. Let me throw this conspiracy theory out there in this whole situation.
I love a good conspiracy theory.
If Pillman dies in the next 30 days, it's Marlena's fault.
100%.
It has to be, right?
It has to be.
He's lived his whole life.
Yeah.
Fine, without Marlena being
Wouldn't
his secretary.
Wouldn't it be weird if it's like, he dies, they're like, well, good thing you had all of his fares in order. He's like, oh, he left you this, and that.
He left Dakota?
Yeah.
This wedding venue? Yeah. WrestleMania in 25 years from now? That's
I hope
crazy.
Someone doesn't tear their back. So we find out what was in Marlena's purse, Tom.
It was bricks on bricks on bricks.
A kilo of cocaine. Oh, just a regular.
No, a kilo of concrete or whatever bricks are made of. What are bricks, by the way?
I can hear it processing in your head. Made of bricks or whatever. Wait a minute. What are bricks made of? I thought bricks were just made
they're
of
just
bricks. Bricks.
They're just bricks.
Yeah, just like.
But like the bricks don't grow on trees, you know? Like
yeah,
not,
no, but when,
like
you break, when you break a brick down.
Yeah. Brick is the material.
And then you make the brick.
You make a brick of brick. Mm-hmm. That's insane. We got to come up with better language here, America. I'm gonna actually have to look this up since Klaus is out of town.
Remember when I think I just mentioned this on the podcast the other day. I'm like, yeah, remember when Sunny was doing shit? She had the brick in the purse. Well, here we go again. So now
or
backstage
clay or shale.
I was going to say shale.
You were going to say, I thought you were going to say shale.
Yeah, I was going to say shale. But I said, what did I say, brick?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thought I said shale. I must have just said brick.
Yeah.
I was thinking what bricks were, what shale makes.
Oh, yeah.
Bricks. It's not what they're made out of, right?
Yeah, you were thinking like, what is cocaine come in, you know, bricks.
Yeah. Let me get a bump of that shale. So it shows Brian Pillman and Marlena... Backstage, Marlena's getting thrown into the car, and Goldust is chasing after her in the distance. And did you get any of the King lines at all about this? Because King is loving the fact, like, I can't believe, I don't know what they're doing in that car right now. It could be anything.
Yeah.
He's like, Brian Pillman's a magician. He made his car turn into a hotel. Like, he's just thinking, he's like, even like 3 matches later, he's like, what do you think Brian Pillman's doing with Marlena right now?
And maybe just, you know, getting his affairs in order. Setting up WrestleMania 2022.
Affair?
Oh, you think there's a 3-way with him and Sonny and Marlena? We got to find that tape. Fuck Fondo Me Elmo.
Yeah.
I need
I forgot about the Fondo Me Elmo.
Did we tell the fans we figured out who was in the, under the costume?
No, I think I just texted you. Unless we did talk about that.
Tom Pettengill, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Was Fondo Me Elmo.
You heard it here first. So we get our next match. Brian Christopher, a.k.a. Too Sexy, versus Scott Putski. And remind me, when have we seen these guys go at it? Oh, it was all the time?
Every week.
Okay, yeah. I thought so. I will say this is the last time we do see them together, I believe. Tom, I need you to talk to me about something here.
Yeah.
Remember a few episodes ago when I said, yeah, they keep telling King that Brian Christopher is his son? He goes, yeah, yeah, everyone knows that they're talking about it. I go, yeah, but King is denying it.
Yeah, he's still denying it now.
Yeah. Yeah,
you were right this whole time.
Thank you.
But like,
in my mind, I thought this conversation was going to be a lot harder.
No,
you're like, no, you were right. Yeah. Like, I made up an argument in my head earlier.
If you want to get it out, go ahead.
Yeah, it was like a half hour
in the
shower.
Clearly his son. Like, I mean, how much anxiety this whole thing I'm going to
God, you need to fucking grow up, dude. You
listen to the fucking announcers, dude. He doesn't acknowledge his son, bro.
That was so easy.
No, I did realize.
I purposely didn't write any notes for this match because I thought it was just going to be one big argument.
Yeah. Well, no, I realized that for the first time this pay-per-view when he starts saying, like, it's not, no, like, he doesn't even say no. He just won't say that it is.
Yes. He's not saying no, but he's not saying yes. Yeah.
He even, like. We'll get to it later, but like JR even makes a reference to Brian, like, you know, I'm being on your lap and stuff, but he doesn't deny it.
Yeah, King is saying, he goes, what? Just because he's a good looking guy, has big biceps? I got big biceps too. He's like, you think that's just a coincidence? Or he's like, yeah, it's just a
coincidence.
Yeah. So Putski is outside the ring, and Brian does this slingshot crossbody sort of thing. And Scott Putski goes to catch him and kind of catches him awkwardly and is just holding his knee the entire time.
Yeah, seems like there was a real injury here.
Real injury, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Too Sexy kind of doesn't know what to do. He gets back in the ring and they end up just doing a count out. And Scott Putski's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, it looks like his knee's moving.
Count out.
Got the dicks in me?
Yep. Yeah. The knee's basically at his quadricep. So, this is the last time we will see Scott Putski in WWE. Yeah, yeah. It goes to, I think, WCW. Like,
King really lets him have it, though, while he's laying there and writhing in pain.
I felt like King did the right thing, because he's like, he didn't even know what to say either. He's like, well, at least he like kept the entertainment going for a while.
Yeah, that's a really weird spot for your knee to be.
Yeah.
You idiot, why's your knee over there, you dumbass?
All right, let's get into the match of the night. We got Farouk, we got Savio Omega, and we got Crush, and I am tired of these. I'm tired of this.
This has got to be the end of the feud, right?
I,
but I also
I
don't
sure
think it is
so.
Because of the result.
Right.
So, I mean, is there, do we got to get into a lot here?
No, I'll just read the notes.
You think for someone, you say right here, chemistry is terrible.
Yeah.
You think for three guys who have literally worked together every day for the last 6 months, the chemistry would be better.
I agree with that. Also, I know, and I'll give them a little bit of, like, I get this whole triple threat thing is different, and I don't know what they're telling him backstage, but this match, you know what? I'm not even going to read the notes.
Yeah, you don't need to read the
notes. It was just like something. The other person literally just waited in the corner, and then when they went for a pin, they would just break it up. And then rinse, repeat.
Until there was a couple things they couldn't come back from. The two most devastating moves in wrestling.
Hard punch, spinning heel kick. Savio wins, though, guys.
Yeah, I know. That's wild. I think we both said that Farouk was going to win this.
Yeah, right? I think we tie on this whole entire pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean,
except I think you said Patriot.
Yeah, I said the Patriot.
Yeah.
Well, I think we were both wrong.
Where does this go from here, then?
I don't have no idea. Like, so we know that Farouk doesn't need to win because
the Nation of Domination are going to be strong.
Going to be strong and still hated in a good heel group. I mean, what is the win doing for Savio and the Boricuas?
I don't know. But to your point, you mentioned this before. We had these big groups. I think this was like NWO and like the Black and Red. Was this going on in WCW right now?
I don't know.
But we had the Four Horsemen.
I mean, I think, the NWO thing just happened like a year ago. The first thing. So I don't know how long it took until the... I feel like the Black and Red was in 98.
Okay. But back to your point, I guess WCW had a lot of these like cool clicks, and these are none of them. I mean, no. Nation Domination is getting there, but none of these clicks are cool.
Right.
Let's be honest. Right. Man, I hate to really call this the match of the night, but in my eyes, it was great.
This is the match of the night to you?
It was so good.
I thought you were still talking about Farouk.
We won't do the notes, but just
you
know
did say
phenomenal.
Yeah, notes aren't important.
So our next match coming up, I thought this was match of the night. This is maybe because of how much it surprised me that it was that good. So we have, as we normally do every, what, 3-5 pay-per-views, we have a little person's match. And it's usually two people out of, the industry in Mexico?
AAA,
yeah. I don't know if these guys are in AAA, but we have El Torito, and he's dressed up kind of like a bull.
Or I thought it was Burrito.
Did you really?
I thought they were calling El Burrito.
El Burrito.
The whole time, I was like, oh, he's El Burrito, okay. Doesn't that look like that would be a great name for that guy, though?
Yeah. He was so fat for a little person. He weighed 101 pounds. I always thought he's got to weigh more than 101, right? And then we have Max Mini, who weighs 80 pounds. Wow. And he's a lot smaller.
So you're telling me there's a 20-pound difference between those two guys?
No way.
You guys
right?
like double the size.
I know. That's what I'm saying. There's no way. I think you maybe, like, the minimum you could weigh to wrestle is like 80 pounds.
Yeah.
He weighed probably 32 pounds.
He just got in right underweight, huh?
Yeah.
That's fair.
This was a very entertaining match. And I get the fans actually chant boring in this match.
They just probably can't see
it. It was probably because of the last match and how
boring
it was.
It
was such an insult to be like, we just got that shitty match and now we got this little person's match. But this was a phenomenal match.
Right.
We start off with El Torito just straight up takes a bite out of Max Mini's ass.
Who you got in this match, by the way?
I'm all on Max Mini, dude. because at first, Torito had me on the ass biting thing. But then Max Mini gets pissed that the ref didn't do anything at it. Max Mini starts kicking the ref. The ref's like, what the fuck's going on? Then Max Mini bites the ref's ass. And now the ref is like running after Max Mini. So Max Mini runs out, and then he's sitting on King's lap. And King's like, what the fuck's going on? What's on King's crown? This is so good. Yeah. This match was, it kept going for probably about 6 more minutes, but it was just nonstop entertaining. Anyways, Max Mini does this sunset flip kind of roll up and gets the pin, 1, 2, 3. And then the crowd was like,
then they were on board. It was good. And him with King is great. King's like, I'm going to punch him. I'm going to punch him. He's like, no, don't punch him. Don't punch him. Please don't. No, I'm Vince. I'm going to punch him. I'm going to punch him. Look at him. I'm going to punch. He keeps stealing the crowd.
Dude, I gotta put some of this match up here. I don't care if we get taken down.
Yeah,
I have to.
It's worth
just
it.
him biting the ass, and just when the ref is like, "What the fuck are you doing?" Yeah. The ref tries to kick his ass, like it's hilarious.
They don't call him Max Mini for nothing.
Do we get to see more of Max Mini in the future?
So.
I really do hope.
Start calling my wiener Max Mini.
Well, that's gonna get confusing for the listeners.
Oh shit!
Because there's already a Max Mini that's been born.
Right.
You know
you're
what
right.
I mean?
You're right. I'll change the name back.
Mini Max.
Mini Max. No, because that's our friend's cousin. So I think I'll just, stick to whatever I was calling it before. Like my wiener or whatever.
Sergeant Slaughter?
No, Commissioner Slaughter.
I like Private Slaughter because it destroys privates.
Don't want to
speaking of Commissioner Slaughter, we do have Commissioner Slaughter coming out with Jim Ross, and they have this in-ring announcement, and basically they have both tag titles in hands, and they're saying, kind of what I've been saying, there's no fucking way in hell Stone Cold can wrestle.
He couldn't wrestle. They just won't let him wrestle.
They won't let him wrestle.
That's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Stone Cold says he can. I'm here to tell you, you probably can.
Are you saying?
No, I'm not. I'm not saying it.
He is too dumb to make own decisions for his own body. You went Sergeant Slaughter, Commissioner Slaughter, whatever, JR, good old JR, Jimmy. You're on the same fucking bandwagon. That Stone Cold's an idiot.
Remember the
Brad Hill, Billy.
Remember the other day, my Commissioner Slaughter's like, he's doing a good job.
Yeah. Now he's just going crazy with power.
Yeah. He's on.
Things are all pell mell now out there. It's
I'm not going to try to plug it.
What, pomel, the word?
I don't know how to use it.
I just did. It's fine. You just say continue on. It's not
all right, so they bring out Dude Love and everything's pell-mell, baby. It's nice and groovy. Like, that's not what that means.
No, it's not.
I know.
That's the whole point of this whole situation.
It's the opposite.
I know, it's not. It's not nice and groovy, man.
I know.
Things that there's a problem here. They're stripping the tag champions.
They definitely are.
All because Lil' Oey didn't know how to do a pile driver.
Conspiracy, though?
I think so.
They make him drop the title.
How else? They're like, they're never going to lose.
Can't beat him, hurt him.
Yeah, can't beat him. Do a stupid pile driver and break his neck and ruin his career.
If you can't beat him, hit him with a pile driver. Dude Love comes out first. They don't bring these guys out together. Dude Love saying, you know, it's basically tough for me to give this up, but I wouldn't even have this opportunity if it wasn't for Stone Cold.
This is the most convoluted championship reign in the history of gotta be in the history of the tag championship,
because Sean should still be the,
because they should have never, like, he was still fine. Why did they strip him for no reason?
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't even been. I mean, I get that why they were partners, so that's fine, but then they won, he gets stripped, he has to pick a new partner. It's a whole big tournament to do this whole decision.
Someone
dude comes out halfway through as like an alternate version of himself. And then now they're stripping the other guy. And Dude Love could have kept the titles and had someone else if he wanted to.
Okay. Imagine explaining this, because it's already confusing, to a non-wrestling fan. You're like, all right, so Stone Cold and then with HBK, but he had a match, so he couldn't do this. So then he had it with Mankind, but then Mankind had to come back as Dude Love. So now Dude Love has to be like, what? What's a little Oey?
Yeah, who's little Oey? What happened to Big Oey?
So Stone Cold comes out, and I think this is the loudest this crowd has been tonight. So Stone Cold comes out, he stares down Commissioner Slaughter, and then he just, like, as Commissioner Slaughter's talking, he just shuts him down, and then he just starts attacking Vince, telling him that he's just going to stomp his ass into the ground.
Yeah.
And then Steve Austin's pissed because he feels like he can wrestle, but the WWE doesn't want to put the reputation on the line in case, you know, he just paralyzes himself. And now as Austin goes to give back these titles to Commissioner Slaughter, he's kind of just playing it with him. He goes to grab it, pulls it away, grab it, pulls it away. And then he just throws it on the ground and goes, pick it up. Drop and give me 20.
Yeah.
If you don't pick that up, I'm going to, you know, beat your ass so hard. So Commissioner Slaughter finally picks up the belt. And then Stone Cold just calls JR a fat ass. And goes after JR, and then JR gets on the mic, and he's like, with all due respect, Austin, we believe that you are the toughest SOB in the company. We just want you to be healthy, and we wish you well. We want you to come back at 110%, maybe even better next time, and boom, Stone Cold just stuns him.
I wish I had seen this, you know, like back, like, you know, when the pandemic started, and you're like, oh, sorry, I really want to go to work, but oh, sorry, you had a close contact, you got to be off for 14 days or whatever. Really want you to be healthy and come back.
Mm-hmm. And he just stuns him. Yeah. And he starts spitting in his face. Don't trust anybody. It's just spitting. Now everyone's out with COVID. So, I guess if you're going to drop the titles, that's the best way to do it. Just give JR a stunner.
Yeah, it was really the purest Stone Cold we've seen yet, I think.
I agree.
It really was.
I agree.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Because even Stone Cold, when he's not wrestling, he's still at his peak with
anything. He could never wrestle and still be the best wrestler.
Yeah. That's what I thought we were going to have with Brian Pillman. I thought he was going to do
more
mic and less wrestling. He does kind of more wrestling and
less mic. And then less sunny.
And less sunny. So, speaking of these tag belts, who do we get to replace them? We do have the Headbangers. are going to replace...
Mosh and Thrasher?
Yeah, are going to be the replacements for them.
Jobbers, fucking just throw them in there, whatever.
Yeah, they were doing good at first, but then they just started jobbing again. Yeah. So backstage, we kind of interview each tag team before the match starts. And we do our first interview with Bulldog and Owen Hart. And Owen calls out Stone Cold, calls him trash for what he did to poor JR. And says when they get the titles back, yada yada. Bulldog says, you know, JR, even though he's from Oklahoma.
What is that?
Well, that's a Drew McIntyre.
No, that's not
even. That's definitely Drew
McIntyre.
That's
like Canadian as hell. You know, hello, hoser. When you're from Oklahoma. That wasn't Scottish at all.
I thought it was more Drew McIntyre. Hello.
Hello, Governor.
You're from Oklahoma. From bloody Oklahoma. He says he still didn't deserve that, which I thought was
good. Boomasuna. Boomasuna.
Do we make a new character? No, we're not. We're not doing any more characters.
No, JR has already got Lizzo. JR Lizzo. He can't do JR British JR.
I can't believe I got a Soul Home Center.
In the middle of the ring to pump me up.
You always got to pump me up. Just like you need to start every Hawk interview with, well, speaking of, Legion of Doom interview coming up next, and this promo by Hawk was the most typical. We get a little bit of a... I'll just start.
So here's what you did. Here's what they did is they ran this interview. They said, we're going to ask them this question. And they clicked the LOD generator. And it pulled out this
oh, my God. Yeah. Holy shit. That's right. They're LOD bots?
Yeah, LOD bots.
The
yeah.
generator. It's like, name a person. Hawk. Subject. Slop bucket. Do I need anything more? Like, nope, I got it. Well, I'm going to read it. I'm going to try to put it here. I want it to be authentic. I don't want to ruin it. Animal says, it's been a long 6 years since we've had these tag team titles. Then he calls out the Godwins and says that he'll stick that bucket where the sun don't shine. Hawk, he goes, tell him, Hawk. Hawk says,
well, Godwins, I got a little story for you. You bring that bucket near us, I'm going to take your swiney big butts, stick them both in a bucket, and make it a lifetime latrine.
Now, we might get demonetized or whatever. Or whatever.
Or whatever.
But I feel like I need to put that promo here because you were exactly
Can
right.
Can we get monetized first?
Yeah, donate.
keep saying we're monetized. Like, he's getting money. I don't see any money.
Yeah, what are you guys it goes back talking? Into everything else.
No.
More vapes for me. Let's get in a Fatal 4-Way, shall we? What'd you think of this match?
This was fine. Actually pretty good, to be honest. I thought that it didn't go the way I thought it was gonna go.
It definitely didn't. It was like good. I'm like, oh, this is kind of entertaining. And then at the end, I feel like Bulldog, Owen, and well, let's get into it. So the guy wins, go to hit Animal with the bucket. Animal takes the bucket, grabs it, and starts cleaning the house to the Godwins. And
beat the shit out of them with this bucket. It's they're curb stopping them, but with this bucket. It's just smash, smash. Like, somebody would die if you hit them with a stainless steel bucket this many times.
Sure.
Or any metal bucket.
Yeah, so ref sees that. LOD's out.
LODDQ.
So now we have the Godwins. LODQ. Yeah. So we have the Godwins, Headbangers, Owen Hart, and Bulldog left. And the Headbangers get an elimination to the Godwins, so we're stuck with the Headbangers, Owen Hart, and Bulldog. And I'm like, yeah, I see where this is going.
Yeah.
So, Bulldog holds down Mosh while Owen tries to do a spinning heel kick, but he ends up hitting Bulldog, and Bulldog falls out of the ring. Owen tries to do a figure four on Mosh, and Stone Cold...
Four or a sharpshooter?
Oh my god, I do that all the time. Sharpshooter, fuck. Stone Cold comes out and stuns Owen. Ref turns around, Mosh gets a pin, and one, two, three...
What a, this is
the
like,
head, what a rush.
This is the craziest twist of like, I think this is such an indicator of the Attitude Era that like nobody would ever talk about. They just literally transformed this entire tag team division.
By putting the titles on these guys?
By putting the titles on these guys that have had no even glimpse of the title in since they came in, maybe a little bit.
Well, they were doing...
These guys are just the definition of attitude, these guys.
Yeah, degenerate attitude.
Degenerate,
they
smelly.
Should be in DX, really.
They should.
Yeah.
Better know than, New Age Outlaws, I should say.
Yeah.
At this point, since that's not a thing, because it's Rockabilly and the real Double J, but like, this is wild.
Yeah.
And it just totally changed the landscape of the tag division, I feel
because,
like.
Because, A, they weren't even supposed to be in this match,
right?
This is all, has to be last minute booking.
Yeah.
So why not LOD, though? Because we thought...
I thought it would be LOD. I think because they feel like they can push this LOD Godwin's thing a little further. I think they're going to.
Okay.
And so... That's why they're, but also LOD doesn't need, they're established. Maybe they're like, okay, look, once we get Lil Owee and Bulldog out of here for the tags division, because they've been running it forever, and we got to get Stone Cold and whoever randomly becomes his partner out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the tag division at that point? It's Godwin's, LOD, and it's the Headbangers. Yeah. That's it.
I really
who else is there? Is there any other tag team? The new Blackjacks, but like.
Yeah.
So they need to establish someone new as a real, actual team that can win the title. And so they did that. We know the Godwins can. They've had it before. LOD Hall of Famers, you know, already.
Yeah. So, in fact, LOD doesn't need the titles. They're going to get over every other time. But it's funny because when they first, the Headbangers came out, what were they, the Flying Nuns before? They had like a good little
fish. Yeah, for a couple weeks.
But the tag team division sucked. So we're like, okay, there was something. And then they were just kind of getting buried. For a while, and then last minute booking, and they end up winning the titles. So Mosh and Thrasher just go out in the crowd, they're partying at the concession stands, they're partying. I do have to break some information I'm pretty sure is correct. Maybe I shouldn't spoil it, but last time Owen and Bulldog.
I kind of had that feeling.
I don't know what happens.
I had that feeling when that spinning heel kick landed. I thought that's how it was going to go.
Yeah.
But I did get that vibe. So, I mean, we get a more idea of what's going to happen, and that's why this needed to go out. Yeah. They were
actually
a good tag team. They carried the whole division for a year, basically. But, like,
but remember when they had that falling out for a while?
But
and then
Brett
Hart Foundation
came back,
and they're
sudden,
like,
yeah.
All right, we're cool. And then it's like,
now
we're all right,
now this is running
sport. Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. And what is Jim the Anvil Neidhart doing right now?
Dude, I just thought about that. I just listened to the episode about his whole stipulation. We haven't seen him since he made that stipulation about shaving. So he's out. The Hart Foundation's over, I think. I think they know that Brett's leaving in 2 months.
Yeah.
So, like, we need to make him less powerful and work this out. But also, like, because you think that Brett becomes a face again, right? Because if he's facing Sean...
Well, Sean's an absolute heel at this point.
Yeah,
right?
He's balls deep in heel right now.
Yeah, and we'll get to Sean later, but it's if you didn't have... If you're still on the fence about that, what he does is, you know, everything's heelish. Yeah.
I'm going to go Peter in this match. You do this one.
Okay, sure. I will say, during this pay-per-view, though, what was I doing? I wasn't able to make it, so... Tom took the Wrestle Vessel by himself.
Oh, yeah.
And we actually saw you. So if you go on Peacock, you can see Tom in the stands during this match. And in this match, we do have the Patriot versus Bret Hart. And I will put Tom sitting in the stands here. There he is at the pay-per-view. So mid-match, as this match is going on, Patriot versus Bret Hart. By the way, I do want to mention that they both come out with their own flags. And it's at... the corner of each turnbuckle. So it's almost similar to that capture the flag match that we saw a couple weeks ago. But mid-match, British Bulldog comes out and Brett tries a roll-up, then Patriot tries a roll-up, and British Bulldog's kind of distracting. Patriot ends up hitting an Uncle Slam, that now we are officially calling him that, and goes for the pin, but Bulldog takes Bret Hart's leg and then pulls it under the rope. So Bulldog interfering in this match, but then Vader comes out and starts attacking Bulldog. This is, I do have to pick Tom's brain on this one. I'll just...
Sorry, I just got back from the fucking Ground Zero, dude.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
We're literally covering
it. Oh, no way, dude. Patriot, bitch?
Yeah.
I just left it just then.
Remember when Vader comes out?
Oh, yeah. That was weird, right?
Yeah. I want to pick your brain.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. I asked him. I saw him. He kind of was right around me when he threw Bret into the stairs. And he kind of came over.
Yeah,
and
it was right
said,
after
yo,
that, yeah.
Vader, why are you here? And he told me why.
Because it's time.
Yeah, that's what he said. It was Vader time.
Oh, that makes
sense.
That's simple.
Yeah. My clock was still on 25 years from now time, or from then time. You know, I'm still saying now, because that was just there. But, it made sense. It was Vader time once I did the whole conversion on my phone. Terrible service in 1997. Like, you don't get 5G
at all.
You hit
the third dab, didn't you? You hit the third dab, you motherfucker. So yeah, Vader, to your point, throws Bret into the stairs, and in the match, inside the ring, Patriot and Bret, and the ref kind of gets hit here. Patriot, but not
it's
hard.
Not a gentle stroke of the cheek.
It was a little tougher, but the ref can handle it this time.
Do you want it a little tougher?
Yeah, just fucking hit me. Give me something to watch later.
Yeah, it'll be on our OnlyFans later.
So Patriot hits another Uncle Slam, goes for the pin. Ref a little bit out of it, so he's a little delayed on this count. Hits the one, hits the two. Bret gets his foot on the rope.
Ooh, but he almost gets that three.
That
would have been a huge win for the country. Would
have definitely been.
A lot of fans down there were big Patriot fans.
Yeah.
Not New England.
No.
Although they had almost won the Super Bowl that year. But they lost to the Packers. Go Pack Go.
Fast forward to the end of the match. Bret ends up hitting a figure. I'm just kidding. A sharpshooter. And the Patriot taps. Then Bret isn't done after that. Does what little Owie likes to do. Does a pile driver to him. And then he takes that American flag, which I talked about, that is in the corner of the turnbuckle. Snaps it in half. Grabs
Shines
the flag.
It up real
and
nice. Twists it sideways.
Strangles the Patriot with it.
Canada, my home and native land.
Do you know anything else past
true
that?
True Patriot love.
Wow!
The trees and stuff.
Trees.
And you. And Hawk.
Do they say that? The trees and stuff. And other shit.
Maple syrup too. Oh, Canada. Oh, Canada.
We need our own soundtrack.
Oh, we're going to make an
such
album.
Such hits,
guys. We're making an album.
SummerSlam at the SummerSlam. And who can forget everyone's Canadian national anthem?
Oh, trees Canada, and chairs. My favorite type of trees.
Call now to get the bonus content of Baby Tonight. It's
been a long day working hard on the ground. With the hands on the clock.
There's copyright issues, so you just have to hum it.
We gotta sing it like we're Scott Staff from Cream. Cause I can't wait to be alone, baby, tonight. With arms wide open.
Which is, we're hybrid. It's like, no, you gotta stop doing the arms wide open. Just read what's on the screen. All right, yeah. Spending my day with arms wide open. No, just cut.
Ready to open.
There's no way we can charge $8.99 for shipping and handling.
What?
There's no way we can get away with charging $8.99 for shipping and handling. You guys keep doing this.
It's 2022, man.
Oh,
it's all on Spotify.
Oh, okay.
We don't make money.
Okay.
It's not monetized. Okay. Right? You always tell me, none of this is monetized.
I don't even know what that word means. Don't know what it means.
It's similar to latrine. It's a place to shit and piss. Yeah.
Or whatever. All right. Our main event.
This is wild, guys.
This is a wild one. I was even telling you, there's going to be so many notes for this one.
There is a more than average amount of notes.
But
you guys can't see, but there is.
Importance. I don't want to say open up here. So Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels. And why don't I just read and you want to just commentate on what's going on?
Yeah, so you're just going to read it. I'm going to do all the actual like creative work here.
Yeah.
Okay, deal.
All right, so the first thing, guys are in the ring. Undertaker's looking furious.
Yeah.
Stares down Shawn Michaels, and Shawn's kind of hiding behind the ref, and Undertaker's just like,
this isn't at all what you said you were going to do. You said you're going to read the notes. That's just one note, and then now you're extrapolating and doing all the creative part. I thought I was doing the creative part.
Let me get through this.
Okay.
Let me set the tone.
Okay, set the tone. Thought, you know, maybe we need to communicate a little better
here. Sure, that's fine. This is only our take five of this whole entire tape.
I don't even think you press record this
time. I didn't. It'll be an audio only. Yeah. Undertaker just punches the ref and kills him.
He's murdered. Another murder on the soul of the Undertaker. He's a murderer!
Of wayward souls.
Of wayward souls and referees!
Now, Shawn Michaels is trying to leave, and Sergeant Slaughter catches him up the ramp and says, get your ass back.
It's like basically Dikembe Mutombo said, no, no, no. No, no, no. And he has to go back and get in the match. So, see, Commissioner Slaughter doing a pretty good job again.
All right.
Doing a pretty good job.
See, yeah.
Earned those stripes.
Now, match takes place at the top of the ramp. Undertaker slams Shawn Michaels in front of the In Your House whole set and throws him into the plants.
Yeah, ferns, actually. They were ferns, to be specific.
You got a green thumb?
Nope. Robert mentions to me that this is the last In Your House set. I don't know if you guys have ever even seen the In Your House set, but to us, it's a big deal. Could you say that the lack of the In Your House set is the start of the Attitude Era? Is the In Your House set the last bastion? Maybe not the last, but... is that an actual way you can tell? I think it might be.
Yeah, I think we're going to see this a lot. It's like, oh, this is the last of that, or this is the last of that, which is kind of the prelude to, like, yeah.
Attitude Era. But there's still two more In Your Houses.
Right.
So you're not saying that the Attitude Era starts then. You're saying it starts, boom, right here, right now, last.
There's so many things you could pinpoint that are like, this is, you know, the end of it. But, yeah, we're slowly seeing these things. There's death to this, you know.
So, officially, it's the WrestleMania match we got coming up in April. We need to decide, I think, by then, what is our defining moment for the Attitude Era. That'll be our task. Mm-hmm. Hold us accountable. Swipe up. Hold us accountable.
Do we answer now?
No. I think we got to wait because we don't know what else is happening.
Okay, sure. So, back inside the ring... back on the ramp, HBK gets punched and does a supercell Sunday and falls all the way down the ramp.
Well, it's gravity. Gravity makes you roll downhill. Rolls downhill.
Taker continues to beat up Shawn's ass in the ring, and we finally get another ref to come out.
Earl Hebner this time, right? Mike Chioda first time, Earl Hebner now.
Sure.
This should be a lot better because he's the goat of refs.
Right. Shawn is fed up and just decides to bring a chair in the ring. He goes to attack Taker. Taker hits him with a big boot and it backfires. Taker goes to swing the chair on Shawn Michaels, but now the ref grabs it. Ref has a hold of the chair and Shawn hits a dropkick, which ends up knocking the ref out.
Damn, Earl's out now. It's a really soft bump, but he's a ref, so I get it. I think it was just like the leg of the chair slightly touched his head.
Yeah, I believe so. New drinking game. Drink every time Tom touches my face.
Well, stop bringing up all of these face shots.
Money shots, really. God damn it. More editing.
No, you don't have to edit that in.
Now Triple H and China come out.
Well!
Triple H and China come out, and now... refs out, so they're doing damage to Undertaker. There's been perhaps a rumor, some flying around of brass knuckles that maybe Triple H gave to HBK. Had them on him. Taker's well aware of this. When Shawn's on the ropes laying a plank style.
So he actually hits Taker with the brass knucks.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. Taker's out, and they go for a pin.
No ref?
No ref.
Damn.
So He puts the brass knucks in his crotch, crotchal area, Shawn's crotchal area. And then, as you said, Undertaker gets him in a turnbuckle, so he's able to recover, and has him laying perpendicular to the turnbuckle. So, turnbuckle, perpendicular, perpendicular, perpendicular. And he literally grabs Shawn's pants, opens him up, reaches his hand deep inside, pulls out those brass knuckles, puts them on himself. Boom.
Bloody Buddy Cup. It's like taking the brass knuckles out.
They know you mean business when you take out your brass knuckles or Bloody Buddy Cup.
So, Shawn is knocked out. Taker goes for a pin. Earl Hebner wakes up. It's a one. It's a two. It's a probably the closest.
This is like this.
Closest.
Like, I think his ball started to touch, but not his fingers, or vice versa. I don't know how
you. Could you fit a piece of paper between?
What thickness?
Cardstock.
Cardstock? No. But regular loose leaf, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. So, and that was the difference in the match there. Kick out. Shawn can't believe, or Undertaker can't believe it, sorry. Shawn probably can't believe it either, to be honest. It's pretty freaking close.
We all can't believe it, is what Tom's trying to say.
Up. He gets up and looks at Earl Hebner and just grabs him by the neck and chokeslams the
show. So we kill another ref. Then finally, Tim White comes out and he's like, I'm not getting chokeslammed. We just need to call this match out.
Yeah, that's the smartest thing I've ever seen. We say that Earl's the GOAT, maybe Tim White's the GOAT.
Yeah. So that Undertaker chokeslams Triple H, and there's just so much going on. Shawn hits a sweet chin on Undertaker, and then he gets caught in the rope. China grabs a chair, throws it in the ring. Triple H punches Tim White. It's so much. This is the I know we talk about kerboffles a lot.
Yes.
This
is the Edna kerboffle right here, dude. Everybody comes out. And when I say everybody, I don't mean a few guys defending one guy and another few guys defending the other guy. I mean, they got the Sultan in a fucking sweatsuit, jumpsuit, with his mask on still. It's like a blue and gray jumpsuit, and he's got his mask on still. The Rock comes out, and he's like siding with the faces.
Rock's
the DOA comes out without motorcycles. They just walk out. There's no... Brum, 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 brum. They walk out. And they're like, yo, guys, everything okay over here?
Like holy shit, when'd you guys get here? You're usually a lot louder when you sneak up on them. Yeah, so there's a group of guys, and then Undertaker's just like, I'm just going to leave. But when he leaves, he just jumps
He's
out
like, I'm good. And then, boom, just flies over the ring.
So we know that this is leading to bad blood, which is a good setup because...
There's only one way. Only one way to solve this.
A cage match.
No. You can't do a cage match.
Why?
It's too small to contain them.
Why? The door's open.
You've already seen
China knows the door open
thing. You already seen that. There's only one way. We got to come up with a whole new match here, I think.
What do we do? I think you keep the cage. You keep the cage.
It was bigger, I think. And there was a roof.
A roof?
The roof.
Oh, so now it's like a whole cell.
Yeah. Hell in a cell. That's the only way
I can. It's got a ring to it. It's got a ring to it. That's got to be a good name for it. That's got to be a good name for it. Overall, this was a long pay-per-view, but this match was so chaotic. That's probably the only time I will say that I actually am happy that, like, nothing happened in a match. I mean, a lot happened, but it was like...
But there's no result.
There's no result
right,
to it.
Right, right.
Which I know you couldn't really do any... Well, you still could have, but this leads to so much better things, and that match was just fucking crazy.
Yeah, it was insane. This is... we haven't seen a match like that yet.
No.
In the WWF at this time, and it is a sign of good things to come.
Yeah. I mean, almost every match, a ref was knocked out. JR got stunned. We're attitude, man. We're getting there.
Yes, look what time it is. It's
Vader time? Oh, fuck. God damn it. All right. Good night.
And God bless wrestling.